Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Once again, this is Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you live from the studios of Ways of Glory, and I am your Marketplace Apostle. I'm excited this morning. Amen. This is the Day of the Woman. It simply means, folks, that God is raising up his daughters. He has a plan for your life and for your future. And we are here to proclaim that today, to exclaim it all over into the atmosphere, into the airwaves, that everyone might know, every force that is coming against you will know that the season and time of their triumph is over. Glory to God. We announce that word today. For great is the company of them that publish it. According to the book of Psalms, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that publish it. And when you study that word, great company, it is talking about the custom of the women of God to rally the soldiers to battle once the word had gone out that the enemy had been spotted. Glory be to God. I'm excited this morning. I'm always excited when I get an opportunity to share the word of God, and especially where it concerns women. And I was sharing with you not yesterday, I had an emergency yesterday, so I was unable to do the broadcast, but the day before, about the book that God gave me some years ago called Behold, I Show You a Mystery. And we're going to continue with that book today. I'm going to be reading some excerpts from the book. So just sit back, hold your hat, and we're going to go ahead and get started. This is part of the introduction. It simply says this to you. I was awakened by the voice of the Lord with these words. Behold, I show you a mystery. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Proverbs 25, he then began to unfold to me the mystery of the woman and her appointed purpose since time began and before. That's just how the thing got started. Amen. And I told you before, I was in a controversial denomination, and yet still this particular issue in the body of Christ is still an issue, and it shouldn't be about women in ministry, but praise be unto God, we go with what we've got. And so, I'm going to read a little bit about the first part. We talked about Adam and Eve a little while ago in the garden and what went on there. So we're going to continue from that space in the book, Behold, I Show You a Mystery. All right, let me see if I can find my place here. Hallelujah. When the Virgin Mary gave birth to her seed, seeing she knew not a man, the seed of the woman was born and destined to crush the head of the serpent. It has always been the glory of God to conceal a thing and then at the appointed time to reveal that which was concealed. Before the birth of the church, the mystery of the kingdom was concealed in the Old Testament. Amen. The mystery of the kingdom of God was concealed in the Old Testament. Sure, we had the law and we had the prophets, but at that time they did not understand that this was simply schoolmaster and bringing us to another place. It was then revealed in the New Testament through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this is not a new concept for God to hide something so that we can search it out or to hide it from us until the appointed time. That's what I want you sisters to understand. An appointed time is now. God has had this moment scheduled in your life plan ever since he formed you in your mother's womb. So get excited about the now moment because God is raising the standard and bringing us to that particular appointment right now. Again, from the book, during and after the birth of the church, the woman, which we said the church is a prototype, and the woman is a type of the church. Amen. Go back and listen to those broadcasts if you missed it. You will find many references to the presence of women in all life-changing events. You will find Jesus bringing the woman out of obscurity when he gave credibility to the ministry of the woman with the alabaster box, who prepared him for his burial, or to the unheard of policy of allowing Mary, a woman, to be seated with the men as he taught in the home of Lazarus. Martha was insisting that Mary return to the woman's place, quote unquote, the kitchen. But Jesus liberated and validated Mary and gave license to her request and her quest for the presence of the Lord. Here we are looking at a dimensional shift in the kingdom and the culture. They, as in the women, were at the tomb and carried the second message of evangelism. You will remember the first message was carried by the woman at the well, who carried the message into her city, and all the men of the city came out to the well, and there they met the Messiah, the Christ of God, the Anointed One, and many of them believed on him and were delivered because of the voice of that woman. However, even in that John chapter 4, if you want to read it for yourself, even in that instance, some of them said, now we believe, not because you had anything to say about it. They still had an attitude about her being a woman and telling them something. That's very sad. But they said, we believe not because you told us, but because we've seen it for ourselves, which was an unnecessary comment. But there, you know, heretofore, it was made. Nevertheless, it was made. And that's just how the mindset of people is, that we don't want to let go of the way things used to be. Let's get it together this year. Let's stop crying about the way things used to be, because God is a God of right now. There is no used to be in God. Everything is right now. He is a now God. Now faith is. Therefore, let's get with God and get with the plan of God. Let go of yesterday. The Apostle Paul says, listen, forgetting those things which are behind, my goodness, if I could just get you to hold on and get a revelation of that first, that little phrase, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward. Pressing, I mean, giving it all you've got. I heard one young lady is calling it go hard, going hard after that which God has called you to do, going hard after the person God has called you to be. Oh, bless his name this morning. This is your Kairos now moment. Back in the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 13, 14, they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Now, the author thought it necessary to put that in the scripture so that we wouldn't get the understanding that it was just men and the disciples stirring up the anointing in the upper room. But there were women present, and it said, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So Jesus' mother was there, and his brothers were there as well. Amen. And the Holy Ghost came and filled all the room where they were sitting. And so I just want you to let you know, those of you who are in Catholicism, that according to the Word of God, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a tongue-talking Pentecostal. So get it together. Stop stifling the word and the will of God for your life. It doesn't matter to me if you call yourself a Catholic, as long as you are flowing in the presence and the power of God. It doesn't matter what you call yourself, as long as your lifestyle and your behavior is mimicking that God has ordained that we should do in this. That's just an aside, because other people think we should be separated by denomination. But in the upper room, there were 120 men and women. They were speaking in other tongues. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And somehow in our society, we have gotten the understanding that if we are with a certain denomination, that this is not for us. Well, God is for us regardless of what denomination we are, as long as we name the name of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in that corner? In verse 15 of that same chapter, Acts, Peter stood up and addressed the men and brethren, still ignoring the presence of the women, when the writer is ignoring the terminology of brethren. But when the women were in the room, when the women were in the congregation of people that rushed to see what was going on, he addressed everybody that was standing there. And the scripture clearly acknowledges that the women were there. So this simple act of preferring men over women was an act of culture, not an act of conscience. Neither was it the will of God for it to continue in that way. It had been going on that way for centuries. And so right at the birth of the church, God is doing a brand new thing. But just like when you get saved, you don't lose everything that you had and were and did in the world. It has to come through transition and through time. It's a process, and the progress will come if you continue to yield, glory to God, continue to yield to the presence and the spirit of the living God. Everything that's not like God is going to fall off. If it doesn't fall off, it's going to get shaken off by the shaking of the Spirit of God in your life. Amen. So back to the book. Behold, I show you a mystery. Continuing to read, it says, then in that same upper room, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Spirit of God came and filled the whole house where they, men and women, were sitting. God did not have a preference. He didn't just skip over Mary and all of the women that were sitting there, but the Spirit of God filled everyone who was available. When God baptized them with the Holy Ghost and fire, they all spake with other tongues. Ladies and gentlemen, the women were included in that upper room experience. If God never intended to use them or us, why then would he fill them with the Spirit and give them utterance? Hayoshapa, in the name of Jesus, just open your eyes, your ears, your spiritual understanding. Ask God for revelation if you need it. But if God never intended to use them, why then would he fill them with the Spirit and give them utterance? This one fact gives license to women to go forth and serve the people the gospel of the kingdom. Many have tried to use the admonition and say that Paul told Timothy not to suffer a woman to teach as the authorization to muzzle women in ministry. Paul himself was raised in a culture that suppressed the women and kept them in silence according to a man-made law. But Timothy was raised by his mother and his grandmother, and it was because of their influence in teaching him the word of God that Paul even had an opportunity to allow Timothy to come with him in the ministry. In 1 Corinthians 14:34, Paul admonishes the Corinthians to keep the women in silence in reference to the confusion that was erupting in the newness of the church experience at Corinth. He even refers to that law in the self-same scripture. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also says the law. Now, what law was he talking about? It certainly was not the law of the church, because the church was just born. Can you hear me now? The church was just born. According to the apostolic mandate given by the Apostle Peter in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Today's modern-day Pharisee is still screaming that same doctrine. Acts 5:28, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? I mean, men stood up and told men of God, you can't say anything about God. You cannot preach this name of Jesus. But Peter, in his boldness, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said, not so. Once the Holy Ghost sanctioned the women in the upper room by giving them utterance, old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is just a portion of the book. Behold, I show you a mystery. God is going to continue to open up the revelation knowledge of the scriptures. So I want you to come back with me and join me next week, beginning on Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time here on Waves of Glory. And if you want to get ahead of me, there's a copy of the book over at Amazon.com by Apostle Ella J. Melvin called Behold, I Show You a Mystery. Don't miss it. Get yourself a copy and get delivered. Amen. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Have a marvelous weekend, and we hope to see you again on Monday morning, 10 o'clock Eastern. God bless you.